Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
So it's not a sin in your church to have an abortion?
That's the kind of conversation we would have, finding out your story, where you're from. God's the judge. People have to live to their own conviction.
The science is clear. The Bible is clear. And if we're honest, our intuitions are clear. We know what we're killing. We're killing a human being.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Hello and welcome to Witness Wednesday. Let's go to UGA and see if we can find a segue. You're going to meet Alex. He's studying psychology. How do you take a simple question about somebody's academic studies and segue into the gospel? Alex, you are studying to be a
psychologist.
Cool. So do you think that human beings are their brains? Or are we something else?
You're asking if the mind and brain are separate. That's hard, because you can pinpoint every action or every emotion you have to a certain function in the brain. So you're asking if there's something else than that, if there's like a soul or something. You can't prove it. I'm not going to deny it, because that would be ignorant of me, because I don't have all the information. But I can't say that we do. There is something else for sure. But, you know, I don't know.
That's fair enough. All right, you mentioned that there's an emotional center. Where do you think that emotions, the whole concept of emotions, feeling, that whole thing that's kind of invisible, we definitely have it, where did that come from?
I think it's an evolutionary thing. It was developed through time, and it's like I said, you can point, like, when you have emotions, certain parts of the brain light up and are really functional during those times. So I think emotion is more of a physical thing. You know, it was just evolutionary progress.
And when did that start and why?
I mean, I'm not an expert, but my guess would be like when we stopped just hunting and gathering and we had more time to think and more time to think about emotions, think about love and all that. Maybe that time in over evolution, we started having more room in our brain for emotions and all that, because we didn't need to hunt all the time, or we weren't fighting for survival every day.
But that still begs the question. I might have a lot of free time, but how would I think about something that doesn't exist?
It's true. I think it's created through evolution, I think. Like, I don't know when exactly it started emotional. I don't know, like, if we started out when we became emotional creatures, when we hopped from just, like, survivalist animals to having emotion, all that. I don't know when.
Would you agree with me that if I had a club in my hand and I went over and I said, I'm going to beat that woman in the peach-colored sweater with a club, would you tell me I'm wrong to do that?
Yeah, you're wrong, but that's a moral thing, and moral things are based on society. We as a society decide what is moral and what is not. If you do something bad, it's because society thinks it's bad, and they will look at you negatively if you do that.
So you and I jump onto an airplane, and we fly to the island of Boingo Boingo, and we get out, we check into our hotel. We're reading through the Welcome to Boingo Boingo literature, and it says that they're going to have a beating women in peach sweaters with a club festival because their culture has decided it's a good thing. Would you be willing to tell them it's wrong? Because they've determined culturally it's a good thing.
Well, in the position I was in, I would not, because I would not want to be murdered as well. I would definitely think it was still wrong, but...
You see my point, though.
Yeah.
Just because a culture says it is or isn't, there's still something that tells us there are certain things that are just plain wrong and certain things that are nice. Where did that come from? From an evolutionary standpoint, isn't it actually a good thing if I take out weaker people so that I can go for survival of the fittest? Wouldn't that be an extension of Darwinian evolution?
Yeah, I mean, but it's also based on how you're raised. If you're raised on an island where they said, you know, murdering people was okay, you're going to grow up thinking murdering people was okay, regardless of evolution or not. And same vice versa. I was growing up in America and murdering people was wrong. And I've grown up to think that, and I know that to be true to myself. into the standards of society that I live in.
Yeah, but you said you know it to be true, regardless, really, of what culture says. I'm going a step further, Alex. I'm working with your worldview. Yeah. The natural extension of it is not kindness. It really should be cruelty. And our hospitals are actually not the fruit of Darwinian evolution, because we should be letting the weak die. Let the useless feeders die off so that the stronger ones can survive. Wouldn't a hospital stand in contradiction to evolutionary science?
Yeah, but also in evolution, we're supposed to support our own, you know, and make sure that line keeps going. So it is natural for us to help each other out, you know, to keep the human line going.
Why? Isn't survival of the fittest at the core of evolution?
Yeah, so our species can survive. You know, we help each other out so we can keep surviving, and our species will evolve into something greater eventually, but...
I'm just wondering, though, if your evolutionary worldview provides rationale and an explanation for that.
Oh, of why? No. No. It doesn't say the why. I don't know why we're here or why we want to keep going, but it's just a natural thing. And sometimes we don't know why. Evolution doesn't solve all the problems. There's a lot of holes in evolution, but it doesn't mean it's not true.
Here's what I think. I think there's a creator. Because I look around and I go, look, these buildings didn't make themselves. And your left eyeball is more intricate than that entire building and all of the wiring in it. So I conclude, I didn't see anybody make that building, but I know there's a builder because there's a building. So I know there's an eye maker because your eye is intricately designed. So I intuit God exists. Furthermore, I have a conscience. I've got that little courtroom in my brain that says, I've done bad things. I've got guilt. I've got shame. I've got regrets. I look around at the world and I see justice, that we have a sense inside of us that beating up women with a club is a bad thing. Stealing somebody's stuff, it's bad. My conscience informs me I'm wrong. I have a sense that there is justice because I see the court systems. I see police arresting bad guys, them being punished for their crimes. And I start to think about all of these things. And if I put them together, what I conclude is there is a creator. He's got to be just because I have a sense of right and wrong. I've got emotions and feelings because this creator does. I can communicate because my maker does. I have a sense of justice because God himself is just. And I think that the Christian worldview harmonizes all of those things, has an explanation for why we're here and what's going to happen to us when we die. So here's the summation. Alex, I think God is the creator, and he is holy, righteous, and just. And he's appointed a day where he's going to call everybody into the courtroom of his justice system. And he's going to open up the books, and he's going to see everything that we've done because he's seen everything that we've done. He's heard everything that we've said. He knows every deed that we've done in darkness. He knows how we failed to be good and kind when we should. He knows when we've been cruel. He knows when we've stolen or lied or lusted or looked at pornography. And God is going to render a verdict on us. And if we're honest with ourselves, we realize that courtroom in our brain says we're guilty. And if God slams his gavel of justice and finds us guilty, we're going to go to a very bad place where lawbreakers go. It's a place called hell. That's what I think explains everything. But if I ended the story right there, it would be very bleak. And I would want to become a nihilist very quickly, because that is not a hopeful worldview. But God is rich in mercy, and he's good, and he's loving, and he's forgiving. But there's some tension in this scenario. God is just. He's got to punish lawbreakers. But he desires to forgive guilty criminals. So God, he predetermined a plan where he could be just and the justifier of those who are guilty. Here's what he did. He sent his son, Jesus Christ, to live the perfect life you and I could not live. He was murdered. God was, if you will, pouring out his wrath on his son as a payment for your fines, for your crimes against God. Jesus paid the fine. He died. He rose again. and he is prepared to forgive sinners. God is just. He desires to forgive people, but he can't just let guilty criminals off the hook. So he satisfies justice through the payment of his son, Jesus Christ, so that you and I can be forgiven. Our conscience can be cleansed. No more guilt, no more shame, no more remorse. And now I know what's going to happen to me when I die. I'm going to heaven and not to hell because Jesus paid my fine. That is the worldview that I think explains all of it. There's beauty because God has determined what is beautiful. There is evil. We know that because God is just, and we know that anything that is not like God is a bad thing. So I think the Christian worldview explains all of those things that we were talking about, including having a purpose for your life. You could now live for God, the highest pursuit that anybody can. You can go on to be whatever you want in your profession, but you do it striving to be obedient to God because he died to save you, a sinner. That's the Christian worldview, right? My question for you, Alex, is that worldview true or false?
I don't think it's true, because I think any worldview that claims to have all the solutions is not a correct worldview, because we don't have all the solutions. I know that for a fact, and I think it's okay to admit that we don't know some things.
If I understood that correctly, Alex is saying that we can absolutely, definitely know for a fact there's nothing to be known for certain. This is Wretched Radio.
Remember when the craziest cultural ideas stayed in dystopian novels? Yeah, those days are over. We're living in the brave new world now, and it showed up faster than anyone expected it to. Social media didn't just change how we communicate, it changed how everyone thinks. And if you're not ready as a Christian to defend what you believe about gender and sexuality and race and entertainment and a dozen other hot button issues, you're going to get steamrolled. Wretched Worldview 2 picks up where the first one left off. Todd Friel and Dr. Nathan Busnitz tackled 22 more issues through a biblical lens: critical race theory, modesty, persecution, environmentalism, secular entertainment, and more. The stuff you're actually seeing in the headlines and hearing at your dinner table. Because the Christian worldview is under assault, and I don't know, isn't going to cut it anymore. Wretched Worldview 2 is available in streaming right now for free on Fortis Plus. You can download the app on your smartphone, on your smart TV, or simply visit fortisplus.org.
Would you like the university experience without the, you know, university experience? The Masters University invites you to visit their campus, or you can visit them online at masters.edu/wretched to discover a Christian college that is biblical, that offers all of the academic excellence you desire: sports, athletics, arts, communication, all of the activities of, you know, a secular university without the, you know, secular parts. Please consider the Masters University online, or of course on-campus learning, undergrad, master's, and doctoral programs. It's Masters University, the university with the university experience without the university experience. masters.edu/wretched.
Hey, thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. Let me ask you a question. Have you experienced any type of real change in the areas of your life that really need it the most? Or do you find yourself just getting by, just figuring out a way to manage to the next day? Look, a lot of people have gotten really good at managing their anger, managing their anxiety, managing the habits that they've formed, but management, it's not the same as transformation. That's why one of the world's leading podcasts today is Transformed with Dr. Greg Gifford. Greg is a professor at the Masters University and a fellow here at Fortis Institute as well. And his whole focus is helping people experience the kind of change that only comes through the sufficient word of God. And this kind of content is only possible because of our gospel partners. If you've been blessed by our ministry, I would love to ask you to prayerfully consider joining us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner. I know you have questions about that, and we have answers at fortisinstitute.org. Wretched, amazing grace, amazing gospel.
Books of the Bible. 2 Timothy is Paul's last letter before his execution. He encourages Timothy to persevere amid suffering. Paul had suffered for the sake of the gospel, but he also knew the beauty and power of the gospel. He charges Timothy to cling to and preach the gospel. When you face opposition, do not fear or be ashamed, but trust God and rely on His word.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
The hardest part of a witness encounter? The segue. This is Wretched Radio. Having a conversation with somebody in the realm of the natural, segueing to the spiritual, it can be kind of challenging. Let's go back out to UGA and see if we can cross the bridge from the natural realm into the spiritual realm via a t-shirt. 40s and shorties. You want to explain that shirt?
Well, basically why I got this shirt is because I like the colors, and 40s and shorties, it just kind of reminds me of the good time, summertime, you know what I'm saying, fun, pool party type vibes, something like
that. Man, you're being coy. All right, so what is this that's laying on top of it?
A cross.
Why are you wearing that?
Well, the reason why I'm wearing this particular one, because I got it as a graduation gift from my grandparents when they came back from Ethiopia, which is where they're from. And we're Orthodox Christians, so that's a part of our religion.
Tell me, Eastern Orthodoxy, what are the basic teachings of that faith?
Well, I learned a lot more about it when I went back to Ethiopia to the I was able to go to the original Orthodox church that they had. It's same as like basic Christian values. It's just a lot more strict. Like they do fast. It's a lot closer to God. I don't know like this basic explaining of the values.
So if I asked you, I'd like to become Eastern Orthodox. I keep saying Eastern. It's Ethiopian Orthodox. Yeah. I want to become an Ethiopian Orthodox Christian. Why should I do that?
Because they're not real judgmental and things like that. It's very open to me, the religion, and things like that. And it's very welcoming. Like, every time I've been to church, I never felt like I was judged or anything like that. I think it's a very relaxed religion. But it has a lot of good foundation. It has a strong foundation and a lot of strong values, and it has a very strong history, in my opinion, from the things I've learned about it when I went back.
As a part of Ethiopian Orthodoxy, what does this cross symbolize?
It just symbolizes your faith, basically. Like I'm a believer in it, so I'm really representing it.
Why a cross as opposed to a church building hanging from your neck?
Because the cross, it represents Christ, in my opinion. I guess that's why we wear it.
Okay. All right. And what does the cross do, or what does it accomplish? What's the point of the cross?
When I see a cross, I just basically think of God, basically. And whatever, what all he done for us.
So if I want to go to heaven, what do I need to do to be saved according to the Ethiopian Orthodox Church?
I mean, I guess don't commit any sins.
Well, that's a problem because I have. Now what do I do?
You probably want to go get saved and repent your sins. I think that's what it's called.
Okay, why do I want to do that?
Hey, if you want to get accepted into those doors, I think that's a part of the guidelines.
All right, you're going to have to explain that. First of all,
I don't know the real vocabulary behind it, because I'm not a very average, like, I don't go to church every Sunday. So I can't tell you really textbook sayings about it. I'm just telling you based off of what I've been passed down.
All right. So in order for me to go to heaven, I need to, what did you say, repent?
Yeah, save yourself.
How do I save myself?
Basically, come forward to God as a sinner, Aaron. Basically tell him, we'll be open to him about the things you've done, and he might accept you back, I guess, in that way.
So you calling me a sinner?
You called yourself a sinner, man. You say, if you make a sin, you're a sinner.
Are you a sinner?
No. I try not to sin. I'm on the right path so far.
Okay, I am now really skeptical. You're telling me you've never sinned.
I know you see a good-looking guy like me, man. He's just hard to believe. But, hey. I mean, is cursing really sinning if you curse?
Well, how's about taking the Lord's name in vain?
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever broken that commandment?
Probably one or twice when I was younger, but...
What's the expiration date on criminality? If you did it 20 years ago or 2 minutes ago, you still did it, right?
Yeah, but that's a light. It's like a light one. I didn't rob or kill
anybody. Hold on. We'll get to that. Wait a second. So you're telling me that God, the creator of the universe... We can just use his name like a four-letter filth word.
Oh, no. I didn't say that. I didn't say it was right. I just said I did it before, and I didn't think it was... I mean, I did it before, but I didn't do anything worse than that. That's when I was younger.
Uh-huh. And you've never stolen anything?
Oh, no. I don't like thieves.
You've never taken anything that didn't belong to you?
No.
Downloading music?
Uh-uh. I still I have Apple Music. I stream all the music for free because I pay my subscription.
That's fair. I probably need to update my illustrations. Okay, what about a pencil from somebody at school?
No. I borrow and hand it right back.
Some coins from your parents' dresser?
No.
I ask.
How many lies have you told in your life?
I don't know. It's hard to count.
A lot?
I mean, when you're little, everybody tells little white lies and things like that. Like, stuff to your parents. Like, did you do your homework? We're like, yeah. I didn't do it yet, but I did it. Like, something like
that. I don't know why it's white or orange or purple, but that's a lie. Now, how do I know if you're telling me the truth about stealing now that I know you're a liar?
I mean, hey, you're just going to have to base the judgment off, like, whatever your perception is.
All right. So,
you can control what you think of me.
All right. In all seriousness, you and I have broken the commandments, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right, so if God is just and he judges you and me when we die, what's he going to do with two people like you and me who have broken his laws?
Well, hopefully when me and you go to that door, it's somebody worse than us, and he just like, oh, okay, I'm going to accept you, and I'll let them go down there.
That's probably what everybody in prison says. Right? Look, I'm not as bad as the dude on death row. And then the dude on death row goes, look, I'm no Adolf Hitler. And Adolf Hitler goes, what do you think I am, Genghis Khan? Everybody thinks they're better compared to somebody. But that's not the issue for criminals. You break the law, you do the time. Fair enough?
Yeah.
So if you and I have broken the laws, don't we need to do the time?
I mean, I believe it's circumstances to each one. I don't think you should go to hell just for saying you didn't brush your teeth or something like that, lying about something like that. Do you think you should go to the... Breaking any, like, it should be some circumstances, right? It should be, like, levels, right?
All right. I agree with the levels part, but I want you to track with me, all right? If I tell a lie to my son, do you know what's going to happen to me?
No, what's going to happen?
Nothing. Let's say I tell a lie to my wife. Do you know where I'm going to be sleeping tonight?
On the couch.
If I tell a lie to my boss... What do you think is going to happen? Am I going to get a raise or might I get fired?
I mean, it depends if he finds out or not.
All right, he finds out.
Oh, yeah, you might get fired. It depends. It just, right. Everything depends on the circumstances.
Just keep tracking with me. I'm going in a different direction, but keep following me.
The way this is going to end up.
Well, that's a good thing. All right. Now, let's say I tell a lie to the government. I tell a lie. I could go to jail. Now, just track with me for a moment. I tell a lie to my son, nothing. Tell a lie to my wife, I'm sleeping on the couch. Tell a lie to my boss, I get fired. I tell a lie to the government, I go to jail. What changed? I committed the same crime each time, but I received a greater punishment. What changed in that scenario?
The circumstances.
The one against whom I committed the crime.
Mm-hmm.
So if I tell a little white lie to my son, not such a big deal, but it increases in its punishment. God is way higher than all of those entities. So you and I can see it like little white lies or boo-boos or oopses or boys will be boys. Not the way God sees it. He sees them as high-handed crimes. And because our sins are committed against him who is infinite and holy and eternal, the punishment for our sins, even telling a lie, is eternal conscious torment. That's bad news.
So if you lie to anybody, that's the consequence?
Well, here's what the Bible says. All liars will have their part in a lake of fire. Because when you break a law, you're a lawbreaker. Think about a piece of glass, and I wrote the numbers 1 through 10 on it. You took a rock, and you threw it through just one of the numbers. What's going to happen to the glass?
The whole thing.
You break one law, you're a lawbreaker. You're a criminal in the eyes of God. And our crimes have been committed against the highest being there is. That's why the punishment is so awful. It's not necessarily the nature of our crimes per se. It's the one against whom we've committed the crimes. That's what makes them a big deal. All right, now this is important. You and I are guilty criminals. You and I should go to hell. What did God do so that sinners could be forgiven? What did he do?
Himself.
What does that mean?
He died for all of our sins.
On that cross. That's the message of the cross. The message of the cross is twofold. You're a sinner. You need somebody to be your substitute. You need a sacrifice. It also says that God is good and he's rich in mercy. He hates sin, but he loves us anyway. And he died so that your court case could be dismissed. That's the gospel of Jesus Christ, that all of your sins can be forgiven. That's why that symbol is so important. But the question is, how do you get forgiven by God? What would you say to that?
I mean, I think, don't you just get saved? I thought that's what everybody does to get forgiven by God. Or come, I know, I just remember in church they used to say you have to come to him as a sinner.
I agree. Okay. What does that mean?
I don't know. I just heard them say it.
All right. Well, repent is a word that means you change your mind. You turn. You turn from your sins. You repent of your sins. You apologize for your sins. You commit to not committing those sins again. Now, it doesn't mean you become perfect, but you don't desire those things anymore. And you put your faith in Jesus Christ and him alone. And God says, I'll wipe your slate clean, and I'll credit you with all the righteousness of Jesus Christ. So you can be seen not only as a forgiven criminal, but as the righteousness of God. You give Jesus your rap sheet, he gives you his resume. You can be adopted into God's family as his beloved son because of what Jesus Christ did on a cross 2,000 years ago. So here's my last question. Have you repented and put your faith in Jesus Christ?
Yes.
So when we die, you and I are going to heaven because of Jesus Christ.
I mean, I can't speak for you, but I know I'm going to heaven. I don't know what you did.
Okay, why are you going to heaven?
Because I'm open with God and he knows everything I do. And if I make a sin, I'm going to come talk to him about it.
How's about you can go to heaven because Jesus Christ forgives you and saves you? How's that?
Yeah, that's too.
All right. Hey, you're a gentleman, and I'm glad you talked to me today.
Thank you for your time.
Yeah. All right, sir. Thank you.